The Athletic.
Let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about six.
Okay, you're with the Red Agenda, and thankfully we're back to business in the Premier League. But Liverpool do look like they're going to miss a couple of South American stars. We'll check that out. The brand new mural dedicated to Steven Gerrard and Liverpool's new third kit, the yellow one. I'm Steve Hothersall. Kiva O'Neill's with me today. Perhaps still finding her legs a little bit after that Jeff Stelling charity walk. You've written your piece on it now, though, so if people want to catch up in a bit more detail on that charity walk, they can find it out now, Kiva.
Yeah, they can do, but obviously I've still got blisters that I didn't really write about in the piece, which I'm kind of regretting now. Because those blisters just feel like they might be with me forever. But no, all good. Check it out on The Athletic. And I'm going to be, I think, doing a run next month, run the month for prostate cancer.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm getting right into the swing of things for them. So yeah, I'll be on social, you know, doing that painfully. Hopefully the blisters are healed up by then.
Iron Man contender Kiva. Right, let's get into the footy and some of the talking points. I actually want to start on this Steven Gerrard mural, which is outside the Sand and the birthplace of Liverpool Football Club. John Culshaw's done it. It's a stunning piece of work. And you sort of feel like Liverpool have led the way with football street art around the ground now.
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, from the Trent mural to obviously the Anne Williams mural, which I've done a story on recently. You know, they seem to be popping up now on every corner, which is, it is nice, because when you think of Anfield from years gone by, it's, you know, been often a dilapidated sort of area. Obviously, you know, Liverpool, it's got a bit better now there. Some money's gone into the area, you think, and it does look better. But I always think murals just brighten up areas anyway. There's a great place in New Brighton, isn't there, where it's just, the whole street is just filled with murals, and I think that's such a nice thing. It encourages people to come and check out the street art, and obviously, you know, invest in the local economy too, which is always a good thing. But this Gerrard mural, I haven't seen it yet. I think it's on the side of the Sandon. I think it is it his goal against Everton? It looks electric, because there's all like electric spikes sort of, like, you know, running through it.
Is it the Everton goalkeeper? Because actually, I'm looking at the pose and I'm thinking, that's Steven Gerrard all over. We all know that pose. And I couldn't think what game it was from. I was thinking, is it Olympiacos? Is it Everton? What?
Yeah, I think, is it not the goal where he is it Suarez who takes the corner and then he runs at Suarez, or is it someone else? I can't, honestly, for the life of me, but I think it's that goal, because doesn't he, his eyes go crazy and it's towards the away end. And the Everton fans are all there. I think it was the night he might have scored. Oh, I don't know, to be honest. Yeah, probably should have checked on
right.
that. But I feel like it's that one.
Everyone get Googling on it. Basically, Reds fans were given the opportunity to vote out of five famous names. So it was Bob Paisley, Sammy Hoopier, Robbie Fowler, Jerzy Dudek and Steven Gerrard. Gerrard got almost half the votes, 28,000 votes. Clearly the preferred choice, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think I voted for it, to be honest. But I looked at the others and, you know, they were all good. But the Gerrard one, it was just, it's his eyes on it. It's just that sort of crazy look almost of, like, you know, I'm Liverpool. And I definitely do think it was the derby, but I could be wrong, because I'm not sure what would bring out that look in Steven Gerrard than a Merseyside derby, to be honest.
He loved a Merseyside derby. That hat-trick's one of the best games ever. Which player would you like for a mural? You've mentioned a few already that have got them. So we know Ray Clemens, Jordan Henderson, Trent, Ian St. John and the amazing Roger Hunt, Steven Gerrard now. Is there room for plenty more of these, do you reckon, Keith, around the ground?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm kind of on the, I don't want the whole place to be covered in them, because then they kind of lose the value in them in a way. So not, you know, you don't want them, I don't think, on every corner. But at the same time, they are really pretty to look at, so why not? And obviously, it's nice to get a picture for people visiting, you know, get a picture with them. I guess it'd be nice to do sort of maybe, you know, a manager's one or something like that, almost
yeah.
like the European Cup winners or something like that. And then you think of, obviously, Gerard Houllier passing away almost a year ago now, wasn't it? You know, someone like him who sort of probably doesn't get the recognition he deserves at times. Something like that could be quite nice. But yeah, they are amazing and these artists are incredible. And I do think they just add that little bit of value to a street. Like if I was on an end house, I'd be like, go on, do your thing.
Put a big Virgil on my house. I can't. I'm working at Anfield this weekend. That's the first thing I'm going to do. Go and have a look at it. Check it out. It looks brilliant. Right, let's get on to the football itself, the international break. And as with every international break, we get ourselves wrapped up in worry about the fitness of players. Jürgen's given us the news that we wanted to hear, and that was about Virgil van Dijk returning from duty with the Netherlands, because he hobbled off after the 6-1 thrashing of Turkey. And I think even Jürgen himself, well, he admitted, didn't he, in his interview with the club website, he was a little bit worried about this.
Yeah, I think every time Virgil van Dijk sort of does anything that looks like he might be about to get injured, I do think people are going to, you know, there's going to be headlines written straight away, because it's almost like it was the biggest injury story of last season, pretty much. And obviously, you know, we know how vital he is to Liverpool. So, I mean, it's just a massive story if he just strains anything, to be honest. So I think it was a little bit of a worry, but, you know, he was on Instagram straight away himself to say, you know, what an honour it was to back playing for the Netherlands, and there wasn't any sort of hint that he was injured. So I think once the player does that, then you kind of think, yeah, he's all right, isn't he? Which I think reassured a lot of fans, but then they were waiting for Jürgen to give it the green light, which he did, obviously. And Harvey Elliott too is okay. I think he mentioned that James Milner was still sort of waiting to train with the group, but then I seen pictures emerge of James Milner in the rain yesterday. So I think, you know, he should be back with the group now. And then obviously, I think Naby Keita, did he say he was fit as well? And then
Firmino, there's still no update on him, is there?
No, he's injured. I think he said he won't be a part of the Leeds game. That's probably too soon for him. And then Minamino as well has picked up an injury. I'm not sure quite what's gone on there. I'm on the back of 3 days off, so probably not the best person to ask. But it's nice to just switch off sometimes, isn't it, Steve? But yeah, so I think Minamino and Firmino definitely won't be involved against Leeds. But be nice to see James Milner at least on the bench when we're going back to Elland Road.
So those are some players prohibited through injury. Let's get to the players that are going to be affected by this South American travel fiasco, which is just utterly bizarre. So Alisson and Fabinho are on the list. 8 Brazilians in total from the Premier League, including Thiago Silva, Rafinha of Leeds, Fred of Manchester United, have all got a ban imposed on them by FIFA. So that's after complaints from different South American football federations about clubs not wanting to release their players to the international teams. It's one of the most crazy situations ever, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bizarre. It seems to be back and forth, and we're all kind of waiting to see what will happen, really. Like, will they not play? Is that ban real? And, you know, just kind of waiting to see. I mean, the scenes on, was it Sunday night, of Argentina and Brazil were just crazy. We've never really seen anything like that in football before. It's almost movie-like, you know, these health officials running on the pitch and demanding players to be deported from the country.
Yeah, the game started and they run on.
Yeah, I was watching it in, I was on the train back from London, watching it in disbelief, like, what the hell is these, a 2-minute clip of it, just thinking, God, I would have loved to have been watching that game live. Because obviously I think, you know, when you think of world football, you think that game's probably, I mean, one of the biggest international fixtures, if not the biggest. It definitely is in terms of fan rivalry. So, that was bizarre. I mean, if Liverpool is a miss, Alisson and Fabinho, that'll be a massive blow. You know, obviously, Kelleher is his number two, but hasn't been playing for Ireland during the international break. So, you know, at least he'll be fully rested, I guess, if he does have to step in for Alisson. But you would like them to have that experience of those fixtures. And then obviously Fabinho will be a miss, but obviously, you know, he's just not long lost his dad, and, you know, that was, so he I think he didn't play in the Chelsea game, might be correct in saying, because of that. So, you know, he'll still be working through those emotions. So I don't think, you know, he'll be he'll be a miss because he's a lighthouse, isn't he? And just, you know, an unbelievable midfielder. His return to Liverpool's midfield was massive for Liverpool getting Champions League qualification last season. I'd done a piece on that, actually, looking, analysing sort of, you know, what he actually brought back to the midfield, because, you know, we all realised that it was so many different things that was helped Liverpool, like that Alisson header and whatnot. But Fabinho being back in the midfield is just massive for Liverpool. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see sort of what happens. I do kind of feel like we're all sort of up in the air on it. So I guess we'll see come Sunday, you know, who lines up for Liverpool and what goes on. But yeah, no, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, the situation might have changed by Sunday. I mean, currently as it stands, Alisson, Fabinho will be back for the Champions League game with AC Milan. But I suppose Liverpool aren't alone in the predicament, are they? Man City are affected with Jesus and Ederson. But I think if we're looking at Leeds in particular, Rafinha is pretty much the star man. If you look at the number of assists he got last season, his involvement in how they play their sort of attacking, relentless football, he's so key to it. So he's arguably a bigger miss for Leeds than the players that we might be missing.
Yeah, I think that's correct. But I do think Bielsa Ball is almost about players, you know, not necessarily in positions. Kind of like when Klopp come in, you know, it's about just, you know, it's a vision, isn't it, almost? So, but Rafinha is amazing. No wonder Liverpool fans have, you know, during the course of the summer, he's been one that sort of trended here and there on social media. And, you know, they've sort of been like, you know, they'd love a late swoop for him when the transfer window is coming to a close. And you can see why. He looks an incredible player. So, yeah, I mean, he'll be a massive loss for Leeds if he isn't able to play. But I guess, again, we're just sort of in the air, aren't we, on it? But yeah, it's going to be amazing to see Leeds in full flow, I think, at Elland Road with, you know, packed out crowd for the, I think, just the second time since they're back in the Premier League. And obviously this was the first fixture at Anfield, and everyone, you know, when they come back up and Liverpool were champions finally, there was so much in that, but there's just no fans there. And then obviously the last fixture at Elland Road last season was on the back of that weird sort of Super League thing, which we were all just kind of thinking about rather than the football. So it'd be great to just think about the football and to just, you know, have that. And, you know, Liverpool have got a big job on their hands here because Leeds are home, I think, with the fans. It should worry us a little bit, but, you know, especially on the back of an international break when Liverpool don't usually fare.
No, they're never their best, are they?
They just don't look energised as they should, even though a lot of players will have hung back at Kirby and have trained and, you know, got back up to fitness if they needed it and had that nice little bit of rest. But yeah, they just sort of look off it, don't they? So fingers crossed they can, you know, put in a good shift, but it's always going to be difficult against Leeds, and they're always high scoring games, it seems.
I mean, you mentioned obviously the home advantage for Leeds. I think it is probably in the top three atmospheres in the Premier League. It's just an unbelievable place, an old school stadium. And that adds to that sort of battling element that Leeds have got about them. I think they're a little bit hamstrung by this idea of how well they did last season, because they haven't started this season as well, effectively. They've had to battle back to win a couple of points in the last two games. But of course, we immediately think back to maybe the first game of last season, the 4-3. And you're thinking to yourself, is it going to be a humdinger like that?
I know. Well, just thinking then, when you said about Elland Road, I love the way it sort of, as you come off the motorway and it just sort of juts out right there. It's like the start of Leeds, pretty much, isn't it? Almost like a, you know, like a, I don't know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like a barracks or something. It's like, right, you can't get into the city here. This is like, you know, what we're putting forward. And it is a one club city, isn't it? So, you know, they're all behind the team, which is pretty incredible. Obviously, in Liverpool, we know that Liverpool, Everton, and then Tranmere across the way.
They've got that thing hanging over them where people look back at last season and what he created. And there's an expectation that they should just do it again. But I almost think it's harder for them this time round. And the last two games have showed great fighting spirit, but it will be so hard to replicate the season they had last year.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, if you look at Sheffield United, the year they come up and then obviously, you know, absolutely bossed it with the fans at Bramall Lane, and then obviously there was no fans and they struggled and obviously, you know, were relegated. I think Leeds are here to stay, to be honest, the way they play. I don't really have any concerns over them going down or anything. I don't think they'll be in a relegation dogfight by any means. But it is hard to sort of back that up. But I don't know, at the same time, it's a, you know, a lot of lessons would have been learned when there weren't fans in stadiums as well, and when it was quiet. And now they have that extra edge, especially at home, to go off. Leeds have become everyone's sort of favourite other team, haven't they, almost? Yeah. They've been a great addition to the Premier League. And, you know, if they're on the telly, I'm watching them, because you just don't know what you're going to get, whether they're going to, you know, sneak a 1-0 win, or they're going to get beat like 5-3 or something. So it's just, you know, it is always enjoyable to watch. And I love how Bielsa just sticks to it. He never changes his sort of... he's like, this is how we play here. And, you know, it's going to work for us sometimes, and other times it's not going to work so well. But when it does work, God, it's poetry, isn't it?
Yeah, his face and his body language never changes either. Let's look at the Liverpool players. You mentioned Quirin Kelleher. He's edged past Adrian now, hasn't he? He is the number two. Five Liverpool appearances last season, a couple of starts as well. A relative degree of confidence in him. Where are you when you think about Quirin?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the confidence probably should come from Liverpool's coaches. You know, John Achterberg's been massively impressed with him. How Liverpool have just, you know, it was sort of last season, wasn't it, when they pushed him into, you know, being that deputy to Alisson over Adrian, I think, you know. So that was sort of where you think you should get your confidence from, because we haven't seen an awful lot of him play football. If you've obviously watched academy football, you will have seen him play. I know Ireland are massively impressed with him as well, as are Liverpool. You know, he's a solid young goalkeeper, and I think, you know, he's shown that when he has played for the first team, he does show he's got that level of calm in him, which I think is massive for a goalkeeper to have. He's a type of goalkeeper that makes a mistake but will just sort of get on with it, and that's very Alisson Becker, isn't it? You know, he has been, you have to remember, trained in the school of probably what the world's best goalkeeper, I'd say, in Alisson. You won't find many better, and I think that's been such a positive for Liverpool. Not only did they buy this incredible goalkeeper who's of world class ability, who, you know, plays for Brazil, but, you know, they bought someone who is a training partner to these younger players coming through. And I think Kelleher is definitely one of those players who's, you know, that's been an advantage to him. Obviously, he's not at the level Alisson is, because, I mean, is anyone? But yeah, no, he's definitely overstepped Adrian, who's, you know, seems to be another good sort of part of that tightness goalkeeper training squad, which, you know, I mean, it's interesting. Loris Karius is still in that, isn't he, at the minute?
Yeah.
So it's quite, that's another little interesting one. But yeah, all things good coming out of the Liverpool and Ireland camps regarding Kelleher. And I know our many Irish listeners have just got their fingers crossed, thinking, you know, for Liverpool to have an Irish number one playing for them is incredible. Kind of the same as the Northern Ireland fans will have Conor Bradley pegged for, you know, starting for Liverpool. It's just, you know, it's exciting, isn't it, when your nation produces a player that could, you know, potentially go on and rack up a lot of appearances for Liverpool. I know fans will be watching those academy players and hoping for that.
He's got a bit of a job to do, hasn't he, to get past Alisson, but he'll be learning from the best. There's a great piece on The Athletic now, actually. Quite a few of the different teams' writers have been picking out which keeper's the best in the Premier League. Obviously, James writing on Alisson Becker, one of Liverpool's most transformative signings in recent years. I think it's very hard to argue that Alisson isn't the best keeper in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, Edison's right up there. Mendy for Chelsea. Martinez for Aston Villa always impresses me. Alisson, I mean, obviously he had a tough time last season, you know, on and off the pitch. He looks a different energy now. There's an aura around him almost, of just, he's back to his best. I feel like Virgil van Dijk probably does have a little bit to do with that as well. But his confidence levels look right up there. And I think that bodes massively well for Liverpool. Everything he does, he's made some outstanding saves already in the season. You know, I think back to that Norwich save, which people didn't make enough of. That was incredible. It was like three saves in about 3 seconds. You know, just what a footballer, what a goalkeeper. Liverpool are just so blessed and lucky to have him in the squad after years of sort of similar to sort of the left back before Andy Robertson. It was kind of like that role is just, you know, Liverpool fans felt like it was cursed almost sometimes. And then he, you know, Alisson's someone who's come in and just shored it up straight away, no problems. You know, we don't worry about corners anymore. We don't worry about, you know, the best strikers in the league running one-on-one at the goalkeeper, because more than likely, you know, he's going to be there to stop them, which is, you know, just that last line of defence is, it's really nice, isn't it?
Let's check out the midfield for this game against Leeds. So we know Fabinho's not playing. Presumably Henderson maybe drops a bit deeper and does Fabinho's role. Who's in contention, do you think, in your head? We've seen this season a start for Ox. Naby's back, isn't he, after the military coup in Guinea? So another crazy story from the international break. He was in contact with the club all the time, himself and a couple of other players. I think Adam Messina from Watford and a few other Premier League players. They're all back safe and sound. So Naby's there, the Ox. Thiago must be absolutely chomping at the bit for a start. He wasn't involved in international duty, Kiva.
No, he wasn't. And he obviously didn't play for Spain during the Euros, did he? Really didn't start for them anyway. He wasn't preferred in the midfield three. So I think that's, you know, something which is, you know, Liverpool signed him obviously a year ago, and it's kind of you sort of waiting for him to really get his teeth and into this sort of side. I think we saw towards the end of last season more of what he can do and his relationship with those around him on the pitch. You know, we know that quality's there. He's a world-class footballer, but I do still feel like we're waiting for this, you know, for him to just put himself in the team and just not leave ever. And I think that will happen, and it has to happen in a way. You know, you can't spend all that money on a player and then for them not to do what you wanted them to do. But I do feel like, you know, he sort of got himself adjusted now to the league, and it might be one of them where this game might be, I don't know, you don't want to see him get overrun by Leeds, just loads of Leeds players really running. But yeah, so I don't know if this one might come too soon for him, but he has, you know, been training obviously during the international break. So Klopp might be looking at him thinking, he looked great, I'm going to put him in. Same can be said for Oxlade-Chamberlain as well. But I don't think, you know, it'll be too many massive surprises. I think Harvey Elliott, having, you know, escaped an injury there, and, you know, he's obviously come back from England under 21 duty, you know, wouldn't shock me for him to start again. Henderson to be in there, obviously Fabinho we're kind of waiting on. Keita has looked kind of, you know, we're waiting on Keita in many ways still, aren't we? But he's arrived this season at least. You know, there's been lots of positives from his performances. He looks to be a different Naby Keita, which I think bodes well for Liverpool. But it's going to be interesting to see sort of what Klopp does, because again, we mentioned earlier, the international break, Liverpool don't always look, I mean, they escape a lot of times with wins under Jurgen Klopp, but I think they never look the best. I think because a lot of players have been away, obviously, you know, going all over, and then other players have been, you know, just sort of training. And I think they sometimes find that little drop back into it as a shock. And against Leeds, it's obviously going to be that, isn't it? Frenetic and furious football that they like to play. So yeah, it's going to be interesting whether someone, I think it'd be too early for someone like James Milner as well, with obviously him having picked up a bit of a knock.
Now, further forward, Liverpool have a player in Diogo Jota who most certainly is in form at the moment. I think he's got a couple of goals and assists for Portugal during the international break. Started the season well for the Reds. Of course, with Firmino not playing, he's going to play again, isn't he? How excited are you for his season, particularly being able to do it in front of the Liverpool fans for the first time, Kiva?
Yeah, I think you've seen from his celebrations already, he's really enjoying that, isn't he? The fans are back. And I think that might be something that certain players, it helped last season not having fans, I do think that. And then other players, that's across the league. But certain players, I think, respond well to fans, and that'll add a little bit of, you know, an extra little bit of pace to his runs and that kind of thing. And I think he'll do really well this season. And he's kind of almost gone under the radar in terms of no one's really talking about Diogo Jota enough, I don't think. I think he's someone who can definitely surpass 20 goals. I think he was unlucky probably last season not to sort of get to that point. He looked in the form that he was going to, obviously, but obviously he was out for about 4 months, wasn't he, with that ankle injury, which, you know, massively, I think, you know, when we look at the injuries that cost Liverpool last season, we tend to sort of look at the defenders and that crisis. But, you know, missing Diogo Jota for all that time was massively disruptive to Liverpool. And we know how much they struggle to score goals. He just looks like he's going to score them every time he's in the box, doesn't he? Or yeah, just there does. Or thereabouts. I think that's so exciting just to see him on the team sheet. I think he just fills you with excitement. And, you know, a lot of Liverpool players have done that in the past few seasons, but he just feels like something new still. And that's, you know, we don't know still quite what we're going to get from him in a way, which is, you know, really lovely. But yeah, I think he's definitely, what I've seen from him so far, I'm thinking 20 plus goals. I mean, I might be over-egging him a bit there, but I don't know. I just think he just looks in that form. He just looks like he's, you know, he's had that year now at Liverpool.
He's confident, isn't he? It's almost a, I don't want to say cockiness, but there is a bit of an arrogance with some of the finishing. He just looks like he's settled in brilliantly. And I think he's probably up for the fight to get his place in the team. Because even when all four are fit, I don't think Jürgen likes playing all four together.
No, I think he did it quite a few times last season, didn't he? And that, I think it was like a 4-2-3-1 or something like that. But yeah, I do think Jota is a player that, you know, he's got that smiley sort of, like, he doesn't look like he'd be this competitive player, but I think deep down he's like, I never want Firmino to be playing ahead of me. You know, I never want anyone to be playing ahead of me. And like you mentioned about those finishes, like, we use the word deft finish sometimes, probably too much, but every single one of us almost just looks like just so calm and like he just, like he's playing, you know, back at home when he's a kid in Portugal, just, you know, just with that sort of ease he plays with, which I really love. His relationship with Mane and Salah, it looks to bring something out in them as well, as it does with his sort of link-up play, I think, as well, with the midfielders and those around him. I'm just so excited about his, you know, he's still such a young player. I think he's, you know, he's Portugal's future star, but he's a star now. Obviously, we're seeing that. We saw that at the Euros. We saw that during the international break. And for a player to, I think what struck me during the Euros in particular was, obviously now we've got Cristiano Ronaldo back in the Premier League. But seeing him, Jota, just take on shots because he was in the right position and just, you know, not ignoring Cristiano Ronaldo's cries, which get used to, people, because we're going to see a lot more of that. You know, just him crying for the ball. And Jota just being like, no, I'm shooting here. He's got that confidence in him. He doesn't look like someone who would have it, in a way, because he just looks so nice and friendly, but he's not friendly. Diogo Jota is, yeah, he's going to continue to tear it up for Liverpool. We know how fast he got to, you know, the goals last season, and then obviously that injury curtailed him. Fingers crossed for no injuries this season, because I honestly think he's got, come the end of the season, we could be looking at someone who's, you know, one of Liverpool's players of the season.
I think you're right. I don't think 20 is an unrealistic target for him. I mean, of course, 20 is a target you expect Salah to get. So imagine if the two of them both weigh into that sort of level.
Yeah, that's what you think. You know, when you look last season, obviously Mane didn't have his most vintage year in a Liverpool shirt, did he? Roberto Firmino come up with the goods here and there, but it wasn't enough, was it? Sort of Salah, everyone, you know, he helped Liverpool massively with the goals. And, you know, you do kind of want the goals to come from across the pitch. But to have someone, you know, that's just going to be there and score is, you know, Liverpool fans can relish in that, because I do think Diogo Jota can be that player. And, you know, when a player like Salah scores 20 plus, and if a player like Jota scores 20 plus, and then if, you know, Mane can get 20 plus, then you're looking at a team, you know, going for a title.
Final line on players coming back from international break. And of course, Andy Robertson missed the first couple of games of the season, but him and Kostas Tsimikas, both played over 200 minutes for their international side. So I suppose in terms of Andy Robertson, given he'd have come back injury-free, it's quite a good thing. It's put some fitness in him.
Yeah, definitely. I think Liverpool don't sort of have to worry about that now because he's put that shift in for Scotland. And yeah, I think Andy Robertson's a player you don't have to worry about for fitness. You know, he could be out for 6 months and he come back the very next day and just be, you know, as fit as ever. I don't think his body would be fit, but his mindset's fit, isn't it? He just wants to run up and down that flank and never stop, it seems. And then Kostas Tsimikas, who, you know, filled in for him so well during the opening games of the season. It's good for him to go away, I think, with Greece and, you know, continue on as well, because he's not going to pick up a massive amount of minutes, as we know. Andy Robertson just come off the back of an injury, playing as much as he did for Scotland. So Tsimikas is going to struggle. I think, you know, he'll probably get deployed in the cup games, maybe the odd Champions League fixture in the group stages, depending on if Robbo will allow that. I doubt he will. We're gonna see a lot of Andy Robertson, but you know, to have someone like Tsimikas come on, you know, at the end, if Klopp loves to rotate players and keep them fit, and that's massive to, you know, the job he's done at Liverpool. So to have someone, you know, who's there or thereabouts going to be able to, obviously Tsimikas is still a long way off in many ways to what Andy Robertson produces week in, week out. But again, you know, he did a sterling job, and if that can continue, that I think is another thing that just, you know, gives Klopp less of a headache thinking we're going to have to go through a season pretty much playing Andy Robertson a left back. I mean, James Milner will be thanking us. Stars, won't he?
Yeah, he doesn't have to go there. Look, the international break inevitably brings up transfer speculation, despite the fact the window's just shut. So two names that seem to be high on the conversation list for Liverpool fans, Jude Bellingham and Kingsley Coman at the moment. Of course, Kingsley, a Bayern player, his contract ends, I think, next year, but it's a very high price tag. Maybe the club might be thinking they need to cash in on him. Apparently, he doesn't want to sign a new one. And for some reason, Jude Bellingham being linked with a move away from the Bundesliga. Either of these players been on your radar? Either you think a good fit for Liverpool?
Jude Bellingham is an outstanding footballer, I think. Is he still 18? Every time I've watched him play, and that's more so for England, to be honest, but any highlights of him playing for Dortmund that I've caught, or, you know, the Champions League towards the latter stages last season, been massively impressed with him, and I know a lot of people listening in will have been as well. You know, I think that sort of him getting linked to Liverpool does seem a little bit random, but then obviously, you know, we're still yet for Jürgen Klopp to call on those Dortmund contacts, are we? I don't think Liverpool have had any signing from Dortmund at all during Jürgen Klopp's tenure.
Maybe he promised he wouldn't go there, Kiva.
Yeah, maybe he did, but this could be the one, couldn't it? I think anyone would be lucky to have Jude Bellingham in the midfield, to be honest. He looks wise beyond his years, an incredible footballer. You know, you kind of, everyone laughed when Birmingham retired his shirt number, and then watching him during the summer and at different points, you're like, I kind of get that now. Yeah, I know, because he's a player who you look at and think he's going to surpass 100 caps for England. He's that kind of player. So that's an exciting one, I think. I don't know if there's anything in it at all, to be honest. But just something nice. And then Kingsley Coman's the same, you know, a good player. I don't know the exact right fit for Liverpool. Maybe a bit of a Klopp project, perhaps. But no, I just don't think that's something the fans just get too excited about.
Right, great piece on The Athletic from James at the moment. He's looked at memorable debuts, and he looked at the departure of Fernando Torres, who I loved, and the subsequent arrival of Luis Suarez, 22.8 million from Ajax. That deadline day was perhaps the last exciting January transfer deadline day that we had at Liverpool. And James, in the piece, looking at the fact that Suarez thought he was coming in to play with Torres, which is absolutely fascinating. You quickly forget those sort of dynamics. Any debuts stand out for you? Any immediately spring to mind or not, Kiva?
I mean, the most recent one that I think fans will think of is obviously Virgil van Dijk in the FA Cup against Everton. Liverpool have just signed the player that would dramatically transform. You know, we speak about Alisson Becker being transformative. I think there's been a better signing for Liverpool ever in the history of the club. Virgil van Dijk, what he did for Liverpool has been nothing short of insane. So, yeah, to see him score that header was, I mean, against Everton in the FA Cup, just, yeah, that's what debuts you dream of, Steve.
It was all right, wasn't it? Right, final thought, Liverpool's third kit. Yellow, inspired apparently by the cop and the flags from the 77 European Cup final against Borussia München Gladbach, which I'm sure you don't remember that well at all, Kiefer, but I love it because the yellow almost brings to mind the Crown Paints kit for me, which is one of my favourites. And Liverpool haven't had a yellow kit for a few years.
No, I'm trying to think of the last one maybe was under Warrior. Did they have a yellow kit then? I mean, I'm no kit connoisseur by any means. I absolutely love football kits and spend a lot of time scrolling on different replica shirts. But as soon as it come out, I just thought, this is fun. And then obviously McDonald's had their way and tweeted, didn't they? I think that might have went viral, which, you know, probably not a bad thing for Liverpool's kit sales, perhaps. But yeah, I just thought, you know, fun, bright yellow. And actually, if you check out the goalkeeper kit, for that third kit, it's black and it's got sort of like squares on it, and I think that's actually, you know, something fans should go and take a look at if they haven't already seen it. Alisson Becker just looking resplendent as he always does. But yeah, so I had my eye on that thinking I haven't had a Liverpool kit in years, but that black one I do like an all black kit. There have been those ones under New Balance, the blackout kits and stuff. But yeah, the yellow one's just fun, isn't it? And I think, you know, they hardly wear that third kit, but it'd be great to see Liverpool in yellow again.
I love a new kit arriver. It looks brilliant. Kiefer, wonderful as always. Thank you. Lots of pieces on The Athletic at the moment. I mentioned James's piece on those memorable debuts. You've got Kiefer's piece as well, talking about the Jeff Stelling walk. Anything in the pipeline? Anything you want to give advance warning about, Kiefer?
Yeah, well, I worked a shift at Home Baked, which is obviously a cafe that sells very, very nice pies just opposite Anfield. I worked a shift for them just to get to know them and just what it's like to work a match day shift there.
You were making pies, basically?
Yeah, well, you know, they didn't let me near any of that, but because, yeah, well, I wouldn't have a clue, to be honest. But, you know, a lot of cleaning up and sort of, you know, bagging the pies up, but my hands were very blistered after that. So not only my feet blistered now for The Athletic, but my hands are as well. But no, check that out. I think it might be dropping over the weekend. So I did that over the Chelsea-Liverpool game. And I do have to mention just how incredible it is. I don't think I've ever been outside Anfield when a game is going on. Listening to You'll Never Walk Alone outside the stadium was something special. Like, honestly, I struggled to put it into words, and that's my job. Like, the way it just sort of poured out over the stadium to me, and it was just, yeah, hearing the seats sort of dink up and down when, you know, there was a chance, and obviously hearing the goals as well was pretty special. And then just meeting incredible people, you know, because Home Baked, the cafe, was set up in 2013 by local people, and you know, it's come on, it's gone from strength to strength, and it's very much at the heart of the community. And to sort of see the community playing out, as you know, all eyes were on Anfield, and you know, they were just, you know, you can read the piece, but just, you know, giving away food to the neighbours and that kind of thing, giving the fella who's the steward on the corner, giving him a hot cup of coffee, and you know, watching that community play out when everyone had their eyes on Anfield was something quite special.
Brilliant stuff. Can't wait to read it. Kiefer, thanks. As always, loads of great stuff on The Athletic. Thanks for listening to the pod. The Red Agenda will return after Liverpool have played at Elland Road. See you then.